Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, first and foremost, just thanking you. Father God, we thank you. Thank you because we're blessed. We thank you, oh God. Heavenly Father, just to know that you're God and that you're capable and that you're qualified. Heavenly Father, to love us unconditionally, to see about us, to deal with us, to put up with us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege, Heavenly Father, being able to call to you, Heavenly Father, to call you Abba Father, our intimate Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of salvation and deliverance, Heavenly Father, and replacement, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for the hope that you have guaranteed us. Heavenly Father, even throughout everything that's going on, Lord God, your hope is sure. You said that we can rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope. And that hope, Lord God, you guaranteed us that that hope will never disappoint us, oh God. Heavenly Father, because your love, our hearts are broken to your love. We thank you, oh God. Heavenly Father, for knowing you, Lord God, that you're faithful, Lord God, and you're a promise keeper, oh God. Heavenly Father, and you, Lord God, you're not slack concerning your promises, oh God. We thank you for your faithfulness, oh God, and your steadfast love toward us, your forbearance and patience, even with us, oh God, your love, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for it's better than life, oh God. We just glory in the very presence of your life dwelling on the inside of us, oh God. Magnify, manifest yourself, oh God, unto your glory, Lord God. Have your way, even in this time, even in this Bible study. Speak to our hearts explicitly and expressly, Lord God, deliberately, or Lord God, your sovereign will for our lives, and graft it and graft your life in us, oh God. Be magnified, be glorified, be exalted, be lifted up in us even on tonight, oh God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. We praise you, we magnify. Crucify me right now. Heavenly Father, I don't have a clue. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord God, your life be manifested to teach us something, oh God, to show us something we haven't seen. Heavenly Father, to be engrafted in us, oh God, be glorified. We thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to continue in our lesson, the theme for this time, this month, whatever it is, talking about the mighty weapons of warfare found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 1 through 6. And focusing on verses 4 through 6 is really the focus. And again, talking about almighty weapons of warfare, praying that you all have a sheet. The sheet is available on the church website, www.cbcministriespa.org. And if you click on the sermon section, you will see the Bible study, and you'll see the sheet, the attachment for the sheet that you can just click on, and you can follow along in the sheet. I tried to get a sheet to as many as I could on Sunday while we were out at the farmhouse. So many of you actually probably have a copy of the sheet. So we want to follow along. And I just want to share in advance the 3 points that we're dealing with in and throughout this lesson. It'll take us a while to get to all three of them, but I want to put them out there in advance in dealing with our mighty weapons of warfare. That first point we started talking about last week, and we'll talk about it this week. Don't know if we'll get any further than that, but that first point, we are not equipped to fight this war in our own strength. That's the first point. We are not equipped to fight this war in our own strength. The second point, which we'll probably won't get to till next week, is our weapons are mighty through God. our weapons are mighty through God. And then our third point, which who knows when we'll get to it, our victory is certain. Our victory is certain. Number one, we are not equipped to fight this war in our own strength. Number two, our weapons are mighty through God. And number three, our victory is certain. So those are the three points that we'll be dealing with in and throughout in and throughout this lesson this week. And prayerfully, you have the sheet to reference, and all three points are laid out. All three points are laid out in the sheet. So let's just go. Let's read the text starting at verse 3. In chapter 10 of the book of 2 Corinthians, and this is Paul writing to us in the Corinthian church. He says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. The weapons are mighty through God. These are our mighty weapons of war, and they're mighty to do some things, right? And he goes on to explain what the purpose, the target, the focus of these weapons are. Mighty through God to number one, to the pulling down of strongholds. Number two, to the casting down of imaginations. Number three, and every high thing. So he's continuing, it casts down imaginations, and it casts down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? Then the fourth thing, it brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the weapons are targeted to accomplish four things in the life of the believer. Number one, pulls down strongholds. Number two, cast down imaginations. Number three, cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And number four, it brings into captivity, brings under submission every thought, not some thoughts, not many thoughts, not the majority of thoughts, not 99.9% of our thoughts, but every single thought, 100%, every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. That's the purpose of our mighty weapons of warfare, to do these things. And so we revisit the objective of this lesson, of this series. It's that our hearts are broken to where the war really is in us, where it plays out around us, because many people, we think this war is in the community. We think this war is in the street. We think this war is happening, you know, on our corners, at our jobs. No, that's where the war plays out at. The war is in us. It's in man, right? And it plays out around us. But the good news is that the mighty weapons of God are focused at ground zero. They're focused on where the war really is, in us. You know, we have a tendency to want to stick the word on people. No, that word is for us. The word of God is to be applied in our own lives, to bring about deliverance, peace, fulfillment, and so much more. Endless. The covenant promises of God are endless. He wants us to have everything he's promised us. But in order for that to happen, those weapons have got to be directed and pointed towards the things that stand in opposition and a barrier to everything that God wants to do and produce in the lives of his children. So So, those weapons have to pull down everything that opposes God's life, his reign, and his rule in the lives of believers. He's got to do it. That's the purpose. And that's why Paul says what he says. And that's why we're dealing with what we're dealing with in the lesson this month. So last week we talked about, you know, knowing where the war really is. We talked about James, right? Chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, where James writes, you know, and I'll turn it real quick. We're not going to spend a lot of time there because we definitely want to move forward. Just want to recap just a little bit. James says, from whence come wars? You hear that? From whence come the wars? Where do they come from? And fighting among you. In other words, so where's the impetus? Where's the ground zero? Where does this come from? He says, right, you're fighting amongst yourselves, right? In other words, we see the result of the war, but that's not the war, right? He says, from whence comes war? Where from whence come war and fighting amongst you? So, like we said, it spills out around us, right? But he says, where does it come from? He says, come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at Romans chapter 7 a little bit tonight, right? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. In other words, it comes from not being fulfilled. It comes from not being complete. It comes from man trying to stand on his own, right, to fulfill something that only God can fulfill by a means that can't fill it. Seeking to be satisfied of the world, seeking to be fulfilled of the world, right? That's where it comes from. And what happens when a baby's hungry? Right? And mama ain't there to feed them, or daddy ain't there to feed them. And that baby needs that need met. What do? They cry. There's a crying. There's a yearning, right? And they act out, right? Because the need is not met. And the only thing that's going to meet that, you listen, and when that baby is hungry and you try to give that baby a pacifier, because they hollering, right? And you try to get that baby pacified, what happened? They spit it out and they keep on hollering, right? You try to get that baby a toy and that baby is hungry, get a baby a rattle and see what happened. They're going to throw that rattle across the room, right? Because unless you meet the need with the thing that can satisfy the need, man, that baby is going to continue to cry. And that's what's wrong in this world today. Paul is letting us know, where do these wars and fighting amongst you come from? Because your soul is crying out, needs to be satisfied. The needs of the soul have to be met. Only Christ Jesus can meet it. But instead of trying Christ, you try a little bit of this, you try a little bit of that. And just like that baby that's crying for formula or the mother's milk, and you try to give that baby a pacifier and it spits it out, and the crying out only escalates and exacerbates. That's the same thing that's happening in the soul and the spirit of a man, because you're trying to meet that need by something that is not met to meet that need. And that's why Paul says this is where the war really is. And we've got to meet that need. We've got to address the crying out of the soul of man through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can meet it, or else that man is going to act up and cut up and act a fool. We see it every single day. Just turn on the news. You see the result of man's needs not being met. Listen, you could take this literally, and you could take it, man, and you can take it figuratively. When you look at the wars that are going on, fighting between countries, you need one of these. Fighting between countries and continents, it's because of man's needs not being met. People are fighting, right? And it just escalates and it plays out on all levels. But guess where it starts? It starts in the heart of a man or a woman. That's where it starts. And this is why Paul says what he says, right? And even if we look at Proverbs 4:23. What is Solomon, what are you telling us here? I'll start at verse 20. He says, my son, attend to my what? Words, right? Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health. Huh, and health. We won't get on that. And health to all their flesh. Listen, keep thy heart with all diligence, for listen, he's given us the solution, the elixir, the balm, and then he's letting us know why we need the balm, why we need the word, why we need the weapons of our warfare. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence to what? To his word, right? Why? For out of it are some of the issues of life. For out of it are all of the issues of life emanates from the heart of man. Only one thing satisfies the heart, one thing satisfies the spirit of man. That's Christ Jesus himself, and it's the word of God. It's the weapons of our warfare that eliminates the contention, that eliminates the rebellion, that eliminates everything, the array, everything that causes separation between us and God. Everything that causes separation and gets in the way of us finding fulfillment in the life of Christ Jesus on the inside of us. Those things are in us. And the weapons of this warfare are what addresses, what addresses, what separates, and what stands in opposition between us and our, listen, I'm going to use a passe trendy word in the church, that stands between us and our destiny. That destiny is Christ Jesus. It's Christ. Our fulfillment is Christ Jesus. And the weapons are for the purpose of bringing, because guess what? In war times, you need peace. And sometimes it takes a missile to bring about some peace. Sometimes it takes weapons when there's confusion and there's contention and there's opposition and there's resistance. Sometimes, listen, we see it. We saw it. God called the children of Israel to deal with the Amalekites, right? He called the children of Israel to deal with all the ites, right? Right? Sometimes there's got to, in order for there to be peace, right? There's got to be a weapon. There's got to be a yielding of a weapon. And the weapons of our warfare are meant to bring about peace between us and God. Because there's contention between us and God. Naturally, we were born with it. And God wants to pinpoint, and he's pinpoint accurate. He wants to pinpoint the very the very things that separate us from him to bring about peace between us and God. So this is the purpose of this is the purpose, right? And so we talked last week, we talked about the baggage, right? How we brought all the baggage to the table. Strongholds. We're going to get into that a little bit more as we continue. Imaginations, high things, all those things are part of the baggage that we bring that to the table. Most of that happened before we found God. And people who reject deliverance, people who reject the message of death, people who reject the message of replacement and conforming, which is our purpose, I'm telling you, if you don't get Romans 8:29 in your spirit, you're missing your purpose. As a child of God, people who reject that, the baggage continues to pile up even after salvation because you're only getting half of the message. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. You can't even say I'm sanctified because sanctification is part of deliverance, right? Oh, I'm saved. I found Jesus. I found the message of the gospel. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, and you'll still be just as bound here on earth. Because, and I heard Charles Stanley say it in his sermon series this month, he's saying us in Christ makes us fit for heaven. Christ in us makes us fit to walk in victory down here on earth. And that's why so many believers are walking around and ain't got no peace, especially now with all this stuff that's going on. This is when it shows up. This is when it shows up. Ain't got no peace. Don't get me wrong. This flesh has a natural reaction to all things. You're going to be a little bit scared. You're going to be a little bit worried. But when in the world does the spirit or the life of Christ kick in to reassure you that in this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He's already overcome what you're going through. He's already made provision for Corona. He's already made provision for an oppressive society and world system. He's already overcome all of that stuff. Do you believe what God says? We got to believe what God says. We got to believe it. And so the baggage that we have, the word is, these weapons have got to address the baggage. How are we going to address the strongholds, the imaginations, and the high things? You can't sit around and act like they ain't there. That's the problem with a lot of people in church. I'm just fine. That's why Pastor Wright can't preach deliverance to some of y'all. That's why some eyes be rolling sometimes. Why ain't he preaching about my breakthrough? I heard it on TBN the other day. Them folks is getting, why they preaching this stuff? Because that's not what the word says. Because we got to preach what the word of God says. Because Christ is the word, and to reject what the word of God says is to reject Christ himself. And this is God's purpose for us. This is his purpose for us, that we be conformed to the likeness and the image of Christ. That's his purpose. And we can't go around God's purpose to try and find a blessing. You know what that is? That's a curse. Because any blessing you receive as a result of going around God's purpose for making us like his son, you're being blessed by the devil. And people are being blessed by the devil, getting everything, living their best life in this earth. It's a setup. He's waiting to pull the rug from out under you. And guess what? This corona is one of those things. That's why people ain't got no peace. In the church, ain't got no peace. In the church, worried and scared. Listen, if you've got Christ living on the inside, he's going to give you wisdom. And he's going to lead you on the path of righteousness. And he's going to cover and protect you. But if your Bible is CNN, and World News and MSNBC, and what they're reporting, you're heading down a road of destruction, because guess what? You can't protect yourself and they can't protect you. Our perfect protection is in the will of God. He that dwells in the secret place, that's the will of God, of the Most High God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We got to trust it. What good is faith if we're not walking in it? It's no faith at all. Because my Bible says faith without works or obedience is dead. It's dead faith. It's no faith at all. So we've got to apply these weapons to every stronghold, every imagination, every high thing. We've got to apply. And that's the problem. Everything's higher. We put everything above what God says. It's good. God's word is wonderful when it's presented in a way to make us shout in church and clap our hands and promise us our season and our harvest and our blessing. We love it. The word of God is wonderful, but the word of God has got to address the high things in us. The prevailing wisdom in this world, the trends of this world, thoughts and worldly opinions, it's got to address the high things. And you know what fuels those high things? Everything we see, everything we hear, and how those things make us feel. John warned us. He said, there's nothing in this world but the lust of the eyes, what we see, lust of the flesh, what we want, and the pride of life. In other words, how it makes us feel, both good and bad. And he tells us those things are not of God. And that's what happened. And those things create high things in us. They create opinions and notions that we put above what God says. Fear is a high thing. Fear is a high thing. Worry and anxiety based on what we see going on in this world. Those are high things that the word of God has to pull down. And if we don't allow the word of God to pull those high things down, we'll continue to walk in fear. We'll continue to walk in anxiety. We'll make decisions not based on what God says. We'll make them based on how we feel. If we're in the will of God, we have nothing to worry about. We got to be in the will of God. But as long as we got everything else in our ear, we won't know what God's will is. Because it'll always be convoluted. It'll always be mirrored and smeared and sullied. Because you got two opinions. You've got two opinions. And you can't discern between what's of God and what's not of God. That's why you got to turn off the TV and get in the Word of God. We've got to get in the Word of God. And the problem is thoughts, emotions from what we see and hear are in direct competition. They contend with what God is saying, with the will of God. They contend. They get in the way. They cause faith failures. They get in the way of us truly knowing in our hearts the three keys to victory in every battle. They get in the way. You know what those three keys? Knowing in your heart being broken to who God is, how great he is, right? Number two, how much he loves you. And number three, what he says. If you believe, if we go into every situation in our heart broken to those three things, you'll never lose a battle, ever. You'll never lose a battle trusting in who God is, what he says, and how much he loves you. Never, never, ever. But the problem is high things get in the way because we put those things higher in our mind and in our heart. We put those things higher. We put those things above what God says. That's why he says in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the weapons have to pull that down. If we're not pointing those weapons at the high things, because the high things produce imaginations, and the high things produce strongholds, and those strongholds become callous in our spirit and in our heart. And the word of God has got to mow that stuff down. Every high place has got to be pulled down. The weapons of our warfare have got to address the high things, or else we'll continue to be in bondage Y'all, everybody running around upset about an oppressive world system, and we are in spiritual bondage. Let's get delivered spiritually. And this stuff that's going on outside in the community will be of no effect. But we got these weapons. These weapons are not, don't point the weapons at what's going on in the street. Point it at yourself. God is calling people out of this world. Once he calls us out of this world, he protects us. The world has no dominion over the children that live in the kingdom. But as long as we continue to live in the kingdom of this world, we are exposed and vulnerable. But when God delivers us out of the kingdom, that deliverance happens in us. When he delivers us out of the kingdom, guess what? This world can't do us no harm. Can't do us no harm. Can't touch us when we're delivered. But we want to stay in bondage. And then we want to run the streets, cry out, talk about, want to cry to the system. The same system that's oppressing people, asking it to set us free. Right? That's like the old slave. Hundreds of years ago, going to the master, saying, "Master, will you please set us free? Help set us free. Us as need freedom. Set us free, master. What you think the master going to say?" He pulled out his whip and said, "Get back out there in that cotton field." That's what's happening. That's what's happening with these marches. That's what's happening with this stuff. We're crying out to the same system that's oppressing us and saying, "Please treat us right. Please do us right." And you know what they say? They throw us a little bit of candy and say, "Sure, we're going to set some policies and some rules. We'll just find another way to oppress you." Instead of going to the one who's in control, instead of going to the one who has all power, who has authority, who has all dominion, who's over every principality, who's over every ruler, who's over every throne, who is the King of Kings. Instead of going to him and saying, "Listen, you set me free how you see fit." Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to doing something on the inside of each and every single one of us to bring about our freedom and deliverance. He who the Son has set free is free indeed, is free for sure, regardless of what's going on around us. He's free. She's free. They're free. We've got to get this. I got to get this, y'all. I got to get this. So listen, he says, so here's that first point. We are not equipped to fight this war in our own strength, right? Because we've been carrying this baggage along forever. It's familiar. We don't even feel right. We talked about it last week, right? Some people are afraid to be delivered from their baggage because their baggage is what keeps them balanced. You take the baggage out of their right hand, they're going to fall over to the left. You take it out of their left hand, they're going to fall over to the right. And I don't like that feeling. I don't like this feeling of imbalance. So I'd rather stay in this state, in this position. Because if I get delivered, it just don't feel right. Right? So people are still holding on to baggage. And what you got to know is your baggage is greater than your will to do right. So what happens? I've been living in this world, born in sin, shaped in iniquity my whole life, heard the message of the gospel either from at the street ministry or came to church one Easter or one New Year's service. And by the will and a blessing of God, I heard the message of the gospel, was convicted, repented, and got saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. But guess what? That don't get rid of my baggage. I still got baggage. Because you know what? That baggage has become a part of me. It's blended in. I don't know where my hands start and the baggage handle starts or ends. Because it's so much a part of me, it's so subconscious. It's deep. You hear Pastor Wright always preaching about the junk room, right? All my baggage is in the junk room. I've hidden it away because it's traumatic for me. It was caused by traumatic experiences in my life and things that I went through as a young person. All that time that the enemy took to shake me, right? To shake unrighteousness in my life. It's so much a part of me, I've hidden it away, and I don't even know until I get in the church and somebody push my button and I'm a ticking time bomb and I just blow up. I don't even know I'm carrying all that. I'm saved, but yeah, I got baggage. Yes, you can be saved. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you, you're saved and you need deliverance. I'm saved and I need deliverance from some stuff. God is still exposing stuff in me that I need deliverance from. And guess what? I welcome it. That's part of my prayer. Expose me to the things that separate me from you, that keep me from knowing you better, that keep me from a greater level of intimacy with you. Please expose me so I can put those things before you, repent of those things, and be delivered. But you got to want it. We got to want it. So we walk around with our bags. We come to church. We'll put them down long enough to shout. Pick them right back up. Some of us have gotten used to shouting with the baggage in our hand. We can even lift our hands with the baggage in our hand because we can't let it go. It's a stronghold. I got just as much of a hold of it as it got of me, right? So we hold on to it. And God wants to deliver us because these things keep us from experiencing the freedom and the lightness. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For what? I'm meek and lowly at heart. And you'll find rest for your weary soul. My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. He wants to lighten the load. But you've got to be willing to allow these weapons to address the enmity. There's enmity in us that has to be addressed. It's keeping us from getting closer to the Lord. And some of us are praying, Lord, I want to be close to you. Lord, I want to be close to you. Lord, I'm trying to meditate. I'm trying, but it's so hard to get there. And even when I get there, it's so hard to stay there. You know why? Because you need to let these weapons address the enmity. Address the thing in us that makes it hard to get there and stay there. We've got to allow these weapons to do what they were purposed to do. Because guess what? We're not equipped to fight this war in our own strength. And that's why so many of us are tired. We just tired. Tired and exhausted physically and spiritually. Because you're trying to do something that wasn't meant for you to do. Wasn't meant for you to fight this war. Wasn't meant for you to live this Christian life in your own strength. It was always God's purpose to live this life through us. He's so much better at it than we are. He wants to do it. But we got to let him do it. Our baggage is greater. It's greater than your will to do right. It's greater than your desire to do right. Your good intentions, my good intentions are not good enough. God ain't, as my mother would say, ain't stunting our good intentions. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Not our will, not our good intentions, not what you want for this person, not what you want for yourself, no matter how well intended it is. God has an explicit and express will for the lives of every single one of his children, and it's going to play out. It's going to play out regardless of what we do, say, or think. It's going to play out. The beautiful thing about it is what he wants for us is better than what we want for ourselves. What he wants for your family members are better than what you want for your family members. He's the one who's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He wants better for us. We've got to submit. We've got to allow him to do his work in us, right? Romans, let's look at Romans 7, 14, 23. We want to talk about how we're not equipped to fight this war in our own strength, and how our baggage is greater than our will to do right. Look at what Paul says. Now be mindful of who's speaking here. This is Paul. This ain't Paul. This ain't Saul. This is Paul. This ain't the one. This ain't the same one, right, who sat at the council and the stoning of Stephens. This is Paul post-donkey, post the Damascus Road. This is that Paul. Look at what he says. For we know, starting at verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, because the law has accused me, I consent unto the very accusations that the law has made about me. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but what? But sin that's around me.
Dwell in me.
No. My neighbor made me do it.
In me.
Oh, no. No, Sister So-and-so who was on the choir, she cut her eyes at me, and that's what made me cuss her out.
It's in me.
Uh-oh, watch.
Huh?
What choir?
He said, what choir? Yeah. Right? No, he said, it was sin in me. Right? That dwelleth in me. For listen, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, my carnal mind, dwelleth what?
No good thing.
Ain't got to be some good stuff. It's got to be a couple good things.
No.
It's a couple good things in your flesh.
No.
Ain't it? No? No, nothing. Right? Dwelleth no good thing. For to will, I want to do it, is present with me. I want to do right. But how to perform it? What? That which is good, I find not. This is Paul. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Right? Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. What'd he say? He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of God. In other words, I come to church on Sunday and I hear the preacher preach, and I nod my head and I agree with it. The law is good. Yes, what you are saying is good. I agree wholeheartedly. But for some reason, I just can't obey this thing, is what he's saying. Because your good intentions are not good enough. The baggage that we walked into this relationship with is still prevalent in us. And unless the word of God, unless the weapons of this warfare are addressing the opposition, are addressing this law in our members that Paul is referring to, unless we sick these weapons on the enemy in us, we will continue to go to church. We will continue to agree with the word. We'll continue to walk out the doors of the church and do exactly what we don't want to do. We will. Because your baggage, my baggage, is stronger than my will to do right. That's the problem. We got to know this. We got to know this. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into what? Captivity. Your baggage will win out if you don't allow the word of God to address it. It will. And he says, captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, my flesh. And he says, oh, wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am. At least he know it. Who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And that's why the weapons have to be in use. That's why these weapons have to address what's going on. This is Paul. Yeah. And manifested, right? In this place. So look at what he says about this flesh. In chapter 8, verse 5, he says, for they that are after the flesh, in other words, being led by the law of our members, what we think, how we feel, what we see, right? Our opinions. He says, for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He's letting us know, you either going to be led by the flesh or you're going to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit is what? What's the Spirit? Who is the Spirit? Christ. The life of Christ. It's the life of Christ. So he says, for they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Listen, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what?
Life and peace.
Is what?
Life and peace.
Oh my goodness. Life and peace. That's why people are struggling, right? Because the life of Christ is not prevalent, right? And therefore, there's no peace, because with Christ, with the life of Christ, comes the peace of Christ, right? And people are struggling, not having any peace, because they're led by themselves or led by the flesh, right? And therefore, and not led by the Spirit or the life of Christ, and therefore not experiencing any peace. He says, because the carnal mind, he tells us why. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. Indeed, right? The carnal mind. This is what he's talking about, and going all the way back to chapter 7. Going all the way back when he says, but I see another law which is in my members. And he's explaining this to us in chapter 8 when he says, for the carnal mind or the flesh is enmity against. That's why the things that Paul wanted to do, he couldn't do. And the things he didn't want to do, he was doing, because he said, there's another law. Warring. He says another law that's just kind of chilling. He says it's doing what? It's warring. Right? What verse is that? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, or the word of God, or the will of God, or my desire to do the will of God. It's warring. And so we want to ignore that, and we want to come to church. And we want to do the church thing, and we want to be religious, and we want to be traditional, and we want to be all these things. And I'm happy just doing that, but don't talk to me about this war that's going on inside of me. I don't need deliverance. Yes, you do. Yes, I do. Yes, we do. Because there's another law warring. And that's why we can't get right. And that's why it's so hard to obey. And that's why you've been dealing with this thing for so long. You wonder why. Lord, I'm praying to you all the time. Why can't I get delivered? Because we don't want to address the war that's going on inside of us. We want to sick the word on everybody else. Instead of the war, the enmity, the enemy that's going on inside of us. We've got to point that word at the root cause, at ground zero, so that God can bring us. What did he say? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, so that there can be peace between us and God. This is what he's trying to do. But he said the carnal mind is enmity. It ain't got no intentions on giving up its place. It wants first position. That's when he talks about in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It wants first position. It wants to be higher than what we know about God, than what we know about the love of God, than what we know about what God says about us. It wants to be higher. And the problem is we believe it over what God says. That's the problem. We got to admit it. We've got to be honest. There are some things in us that have the first position. There are some things in us that we place above the knowledge of God. We place those things above what God says in our mind. We want to believe it over the stronghold, over the imagination, over the high thing, but we can't because our hearts have not been broken to the weapon, which is the word of God, to cause us to believe otherwise. We've got to allow the word to do its job. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. It ain't subject. Don't respect the law of God. Won't bow down to the law of God. And that's why it's higher. And if we don't bring this flesh under submission, this carnal mind under submission, this law of the flesh under submission, it's going to win out because it's stubborn. It can't. It doesn't respect the law of God, and it can't. He says, indeed, it cannot. And it's got to be brought. That's why he says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Your carnal mind, my carnal mind. And when we get into this next point, when we get into this next point and we talk about these weapons and what it takes, man, I'm telling you, we've got to change the way we think and operate. Because it takes more than just going to church and being religious. It takes more than just coming to church and sitting in Bible studies and in prayer meetings. It takes more. God wants an intimate relationship. The word has got to be lifted above these high things. And we can't continue to allow the word of God to have to compete with CNN and MSNBC and Netflix and Hulu and all these things that we spend the majority of our time doing. Can't do it. Can't do it. So then, in our last couple minutes, Daniel chapter 10. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10. And Pastor Wright dealt with this a while ago, and it was so profound when he dealt with this. And when the Lord was dealing with me about this series, he brought me here dealing with Daniel and his 21-day fast, right? Was seeking the Lord for the will of God, to share the will of God with the people, with the children of Israel. And he was seeking and 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 seeking. 3 weeks of praying and fasting, turning down his plate. Right? And then, you know, we got the archangel Michael came to him. and let him know what was going on, right? Listen, chapter starting at verse 12, he says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine what?
Heart.
Heart, right? Thine heart, heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God." Chastening, he was praying and fasting, denying himself, right? "Thy words were heard from the very beginning." He says, "And I am come for thy words." He says, listen, but here we go. Listen. He says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. He's talking about opposition. He's talking about a stronghold. He's talking about a principality. "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with him, with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Listen, in other words, right? There was a war going on in the spiritual realm that withstood the will of God. Right? Being brought to Daniel. The Lord heard him from day one. Right? But there was opposition. Right? Now, let's fast forward. Old Testament. Christ going to the cross. Defeating. Right? Because we look at Colossians 1, somewhere around 19, somewhere around that, when he talks about how he's reconciled all things to himself by himself. And what he's referring to is what he was talking about in verses 15 or 16 when he talks about all things are created by him, principalities, thrones, dominions, all those things are created by him and for him. Those are the things. He brought those things he brought those things back to himself. And then he goes on to say, "And you," right, "who was once," and I forget, I'm paraphrasing, "who were once the enemy," right? Us, we're the last thing. We're the most important thing. He's still calling us and bringing us and reconciling us to himself. But those things that were opposing him in the Old Testament, he brought those things under submission. But those things play out no longer around us, but in us. So even in our praying, even in our seeking, even in our desire to do the will of God, right? What confronted Michael in the Old Testament is confronting and standing in opposition of our obedience even today. But God is yielding the weapons of our warfare to address the opposition. Much like Michael addressed the opposition that was keeping the word from Daniel, God, the weapons of our warfare are addressing what's keeping the fulfillment of God's word, which is Christ's life, our intimate relationship, Christ in us, the hope of glory, keeping his purpose, that purpose, from being fulfilled in the lives of the believer. The baggage, the spirits, the demonic hordes and presence we carry with us from all this stuff, from years of not knowing Christ and years of being shaped in iniquity, are standing in opposition in the same way. And the only thing that we can do is what Daniel did. We've got to be diligent in the word of God, in praying the word of God, in meditating on the word of God with confidence, knowing that God heard us from day one. But it's some stuff. The territory. Listen, one thing about the carnal mind, it's territorial. The carnal mind, this enmity in us, it's territorial. It's territory. That's where the strongholds emanate. And he does not want to give up first position. The high things that we've placed higher than the word and the will of God. Listen, it ain't giving up without a fight. And that's why these are weapons of warfare. They didn't say these are weapons of pity pat, or these are weapons of what do you call it? The mulberry bush. No, these are weapons of war. There's a war going on, and it needs to be addressed. Has to be addressed. And until we address what's with, because he said there, this prince of Persia, it withstood the will of God. It withstood the message and the word of God. Until we address in us that which withstands or stands in opposition of God's will being done or God's purpose being manifested, which is our fellowship with God, our agreement and our obedience to God, until we allow the weapons to address this very thing, we are going to continue to struggle in sin, in bondage, saved and everything, but you're going to struggle because we cannot reject what God means to do through the word of God in us. That's why we preach what we preach. That's why we teach what we teach. And that's why we stand flat-footed doing it. Because this is what God is telling us. This is the will of God. And we're so much better off because of it. Listen, when I say God means to bring about peace and deliverance, provision, fulfillment, joy, validation, affirmation, all these things is what God means to bring in the lives of believer. But we can't ignore what's withstanding that and standing in opposition of that. It's got to be addressed. That's why Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, which means they will win out if we put them to use, to the pulling down of strongholds in us, to the casting down of imaginations in us, in every high thing in us that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, our fellowship with him, and bringing every single thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Let his weapons do its job. We're better off for it. Peace, joy, love, validation, affirmation. We just ran down the list. All those things are waiting for us in the midst of a messed up world. We'll have it. And when that plays out, and we'll talk about that when we get to the third point in victory, man, oh man, you want to talk about a witness? You want to talk about people seeing Christ and coming to Christ? Let's let these weapons have its way in our lives, in our heart, and we will see people come to Christ. You won't even have to open your mouth. I hear Pastor Wright say it. You'll win more people on accident than you will on purpose. That's it.